against Morgan. Wait till we manage to complete the transition here, Ms. Tucker. Ms. Tucker.
Good morning. May it please the court, Dad and I are here to represent the estate of Alan Lee Morgan. And the issue in this case is whether the death of Alan Lee Morgan on December the 13th, 1998 in Lawrence County, Indiana, was a covered loss under the State Farm homeowners policy issued to Joyce Henderson.
Before we get too far into the merits, can we be confident there is federal subject matter jurisdiction in this case?
The federal subject matter jurisdiction, Your Honor, is based on the Erie Doctrine in which the court...
No, subject matter jurisdiction is based on 28 U.S.C. 1332.
Yes, Your Honor.
And that depends on the citizenship of the parties.
Yes, Your Honor.
Your brief gives us the principal place of business, but not the state of incorporation of State Farm. What does the record show about the place of its state of incorporation? The brief tells us that Morgan was a, quote, resident, close quote, of Indiana.
Yes, Your Honor.
Residence is not what matters for purposes of the diversity jurisdiction. What matters is citizenship. The Supreme Court has told us that if the only allegations in the record are those of residence, we are required to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. And finally, the jurisdictional statements in the briefs pay no attention to the jurisdiction of Joyce Henderson, who was a party to this case when the suit was filed in the district court. So we need to know basically all the citizenships. The papers that I have seen give no information on the citizenship of any of the parties in this case.
Thank you, Your Honor. The citizenship of Joyce Henderson is in Lawrence County, Indiana.
Does the record show that?
Yes, Your Honor. It shows that in the complaint that was filed below, the civil wrongful death complaint as well as the federal complaint, it was admitted by State Farm in its declaratory judgment complaint and then Joyce Henderson's answer to the declaratory judgment complaint. And does that address your question, Your Honor?
The question I'm asking is whether the papers deal with citizenship as opposed to residence. Your brief alleges residence.
Yes, Your Honor.
State Farm's brief says quite preposterously that the jurisdictional statement is complete and correct. We need someplace to know what the critical details are. Do you know whether citizenship is adequately alleged in the record for all three parties?
Your Honor, I believe it is, that it was adequately alleged in the complaint below as well as the answers to the complaint.
Well, we will look.
Thank you,
that's what you're relying on.
Thank you, Your Honor. And the overwhelming in this evidence in this case, from the criminal proceedings to the civil wrongful death trial to the federal declaratory judgment action, all reveal that the death of Alan Lee Morgan was not intentional and thus was a covered loss under the policy. And if we look quickly at the criminal case, Joyce Henderson was charged and convicted with committing a reckless and not an intentional act. And the Court of Appeals of Indiana, in a memorandum decision, said that there was no intent element in the crime of reckless homicide. And if we look at Indiana Code 3541.22, a person engages in conduct recklessly if he engages in the conduct in plain, conscious, and unjustifiable disregard of harm that might result, and the disregard involves substantial deviation from acceptable standards of conduct. And if you compare that to the culpability level of intentional, Your Honor, if when he engages in the conduct, it is his conscious objective to do so, Henderson took the stand in the criminal trial and testified that just before the shooting, at issue in this case, she couldn't see because her blood pressure went up, and, quote, she just fired the gun. I don't know how I hit Alan Lee Morgan instead of my husband.
What was she? How did she not know which one she hit? Was she thinking she was going to hit her husband?
Your Honor, I don't believe she was thinking she was going to hit anyone. If you look at all the evidence, it's much more logical to conclude that the detonation of the firearm was meant to scare Alan Lee Morgan instead of what actually occurred.
How close was she when she pulled the trigger to the two people?
She was several feet away.
Several, like 2 feet?
It was approximately 3 to 5 feet, Your Honor.
That she certainly intended to shoot the gun, pull the trigger, but only to scare as opposed to kill.
She intended to shoot the gun. There's no evidence here that it malfunctioned. And at the sentencing, she also stated, Your Honor, that, but to the boys, the four minor sons of Alan Lee Morgan, I never meant to kill your daddy. I would never do a thing like that. And we look at her subconscious intent.
Why is shooting, the implication of all of this, is that she intended to wound but not to kill. But I don't understand why this insurance policy would cover somebody who shot to wound just because death resulted.
I don't believe that she intended to wound Alan Lee Morgan. I believe that the material facts are...
Well, if you shoot a gun at somebody, there are only two possibilities. You intend to wound him or you intend to kill him.
In the Stout case, Your Honor, that we stated below, it talks about the fact that even though in Indiana someone fires a gun in the direction of a person, it's a question for the fact finder if the insured asserts the I didn't mean to defense.
No, that I completely understand the claim that if you shoot a gun in the direction of a deer and it also turns out to be in the direction of a person and you hit the person rather than the deer, that can be an accident. But if you shoot a gun at two people and you say, essentially, well, I'm surprised that I hit A rather than B, I might well have hit A, that looks very much like an intentional shooting.
Your Honor.
The shooter did not believe that either A or B was a deer or a hamster or a rat or anything like that.
Your Honor, I believe that you separate the act of intentionally pulling a trigger of a gun from intentionally shooting someone. All of the cases that were discussed and relied upon by the court below and State Farm, for example, Allstate Insurance Company versus Norris, it was the intent of the insured to pin down an unidentified man and he accidentally shot a passerby. That insured was charged with attempted murder, two counts plus one count of the criminal recklessness. And the court in the Bolin case that we relied upon looked in great detail at the fact that Bolin was only charged with the reckless act. And Bolin shot a gun into the back of a truck and said he knew at the time that he could have hurt somebody. But the court said that wasn't enough. It's their subconscious awareness that would occur.
But the proximity, I get back to the distance here. You know, when you fire a gun, say, 5 feet, that's much closer than we are now. What do you think? I mean, wouldn't it rationally, if you aim at that direction, the rational consequence or thought be that the consequence is you're going to hit somebody?
I believe that the facts in this case create an issue of material fact that it was not her subconscious thought that she could have hurt somebody. And in the Bolin case, the court differentiated that and said that even though the insured said I could have hurt someone, that wasn't enough. It's his conscious awareness that such injury is practically certain to occur. And going back to the Stout case, the court rejected that very argument made by the insurance company and said the I didn't mean to defense is a credibility question left for the finder of fact, and therefore it is a question left for the finder of fact. And I will stop there and leave the last minute for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Mr. Frazier.
May it please the court. My name is Ron Frazier, and I represent State Farm Fire and Casualty Company. Initially, Your Honor, to try and clear up this jurisdictional question, a rhetorical paragraph of the number 18 of the complaint, which is at page 6 of the appellant's appendix, State Farm alleged that there is complete diversity of citizenship exists between the parties under 28 U.S.C. section 1332. That was admitted by both.
One can't allege legal conclusions. Are there allegations in the record about the state of incorporation of State Farm? That seems to be missing. And the state of citizenship of each of the natural persons named as defendants?
The answer to the first question is no. The answer to the second question is yes.
And where is the allegation about the state of citizenship of each of the defendants?
I apologize, Your Honor. You're correct. It alleges residence.
We have been told, as I say, we've been told by the Supreme Court that when a complaint alleges residence, it must be dismissed for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. There's just no way around it. We're not in the business of defying the Supreme Court of the United States. There's a difference between citizenship and residence. And if, as you say, this record just doesn't establish the citizenship, as you described it, it does not establish the citizenship of any of the three parties. So the district court should have dismissed it. Now, it is possible, if one can, in good faith, amend the complaint to allege jurisdiction, it is possible to do that even on appeal. 28 U.S.C. 1653 provides that complaints can be amended properly to allege jurisdiction even on appeal. So if the parties want, say, 7 days to properly amend the complaint and file memos showing that, but of course the amendment has to be a truthful one.
That will be done, Your Honor.
All right. We'll give you 7 days for the purpose of amending the pleadings with respect to jurisdiction.
Your Honor, the first issue is whether the estate can carry its burden of proving that Alan Lee Morgan's death was an occurrence. There's a misunderstanding of insurance policies that's abundant in the law and particularly in this case. There's two separate and distinct parts of an insurance policy that are at issue here. The first part that's at issue is the insuring agreement. The second part that is at issue is the intended and expected act exclusion. In the insurance agreement, there is the word that we all know, occurrence. An occurrence is defined in the State Farm policy as an accident. In the other part, the exclusionary language of the policy, the Indiana courts have said that an intentional act is an act where you basically have an intent to injure. It's kind of that simple. So there's a distinction. And the importance of the distinction here, Your Honors, is that it's the burden of the insured to prove that an occurrence has been met, and it is the burden of the insurance company to prove that exclusionary language has been met. Now, the word occurrence and the definition of accident is very important in insurance law because there's a general principle of insurance that says that insurance should only be employed to transfer risks associated with fortuitous occurrences. Actuaries can only calculate fortuitous occurrences. They can't calculate how many times people are going to come up and intentionally and deliberately and consciously, willfully and knowingly point a gun at another and pull the trigger. So that's why the word occurrence and the definition accident is in the policy. In the trial court's decision, Judge Tinder relies upon the case of Allstate versus Norris, which is founded upon this court's case of Redball versus Hartford at 915 F. 3rd 306. The language of the Redball case is very instructive. The Redball case states in pertinent part, A volitional act does not become an accident simply because the insured's negligence prompted the act. Injury that is caused directly by negligence injury that is caused directly by negligence must be distinguished from injury that is caused by a deliberate and contemplated act initiated at least in part by the actor's negligence at some earlier point. The former injury may be an accident. However, the latter injury, because it is intended and the negligence is attenuated from the volitional act, is not an accident. Now, if you look at the definition of an intended act in the case from the Indiana Supreme Court in Allstate versus Herman, they say volitional performance of an act with an intent to cause injury. So we can distinguish occurrence from an intended act by saying volitional performance of an act, that is an occurrence, versus volitional performance of an act with an intent to cause injury, that is intent to injure. Here, when we look at the occurrence, Joyce Henderson, in her admissions, admitted that she pulled the trigger of the gun and she did so consciously, deliberately, and knowingly. Those facts conclusively establish that the district court was correct in entering summary judgment in favor of State Farm. Excuse me. The estate attempts to distinguish Allstate versus Norris by using Bolin versus State Farm. Bolin discusses both the intended and expected acts exclusions. Bolin does not discuss the definition of occurrence or the insuring agreement. Bolin has absolutely nothing to do with the occurrence policy language. But there is a sentence from Bolin which is particularly instructive. And the court stated, "We believe the appropriate focus in interpreting the policy in question is to focus upon whether the injury is expected or intended rather than whether the act itself was intended." That's because whether the act itself was intended goes to occurrence, whereas the injury, whether the injury is intended, that goes to the intended or expected act exclusionary language. Here, really, we have both. There are a lot of facts that are argued by the estate to try to indicate there's some magic question of fact out there. That magic question of fact just isn't there. What those facts are that the estate argues is that Joyce Henderson was acting in self-defense when she deliberately, intentionally pulled the trigger. In the appellant's appendix that has been given to the court, there's a citation to the criminal record, and it goes through the scuffle that ensued between Bill Henderson, Joyce Henderson's husband, Alan Lee Morgan, and Joyce Henderson. Joyce Henderson was thrashed about. She was hit. Bill Henderson was hit. He was thrashed about. And Alan Lee Morgan, being a younger man, was able to take control of the situation. According to Joyce Henderson, in that testimony that's before the court, Alan Lee Morgan continually was saying to Bill and Joyce Henderson, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you." At that point, Joyce Henderson then takes the gun out of her fanny pack. She then points it directly in the direction of Alan Lee Morgan and her husband, Bill Henderson, and pulls the trigger. She admits over and over again throughout the record, "I pulled the trigger." Those facts affirmatively establish an occurrence. The estate cites in the occurrence section of its brief several expected and intended act cases. Those cases, quite simply, are not applicable to this case. They have no relevance or bearing as it relates to the occurrence section. The second issue is whether State Farm has proven that an has proven, an inference of intent must be drawn from Joyce Henderson's act of pointing the gun and pulling the trigger. The Indiana Supreme Court has repeatedly said, or said in the case of Allstate versus Herman, an inference of intent to harm must be drawn from the nature of the act when the insured commits an act which any reasonable person would deem calculated to cause injury.
What if you just intend to scare? Would that make a difference?
It would depend. I would need more facts to your hypothetical, Your Honor. If I intend to scare someone and I'm pointing the gun right at them, that doesn't make a difference. And that's the facts that the court has before it. Because Joy, and this is repeated by the estate over and over again, that when Joyce Henderson pointed the gun, she was pointing it at Alan Lee Morgan and Bill Henderson, and she didn't know which one she was going to hit when she pulled the trigger, but she chose to pull the trigger nonetheless.
She said that because she couldn't see. She had high blood pressure or something, couldn't see much. Does that matter?
No, Your Honor, it doesn't. It's the volitional performance of an act. The red ball court, and that's why I went into that, it talks about that where there's negligence, and then you have a volitional act after the negligence. So if I'm trying to scare somebody, and I can't see, but I know they're right over there, and I still point and name the gun, that is an act which any reasonable person would deem calculated to cause injury. It's just like in Allstate versus Herman, the Indiana Supreme Court case, where the insured took his gun and he aimed it over the crowd. When he did that and he fired the shot, he knew, he said in his deposition testimony, I had the intent to hurt somebody, and in essence, that's why I was firing over the crowd. Joyce Henderson wanted to save her life, and that's why she pulled the trigger. And what's the important thing here, Honorable Court, is that there's a distinction that needs to be made between pointing a gun at another human being and pointing it somewhere else where you know no one can be hurt. And there's an Indiana Court of Appeals case called Auto Owners versus Stroud, which is very instructive. In Stroud, the young man is trying to get away from or stop burglaries happening on repeated occasions. He sleeps at the store during the night. That night, he hears someone trying to break in the door. He takes his gun, he walks up to the door, and he fires it 1.5 feet from the door. He believes that he is just doing this to scare the party that's trying to break in. But that's what the evidence was, that he was pointing 1.5 feet away from the door. That's not the evidence here. The evidence here is that Joyce Henderson pointed the weapon at Alan Morgan and Bill Henderson. The intent to injure should therefore be inferred as a matter of law. Also, we have established the expected act exclusion through number 12, the request for admission number 12, which states Joyce Henderson was consciously pulled the trigger of the gun, and request for admission 18, which states when Joyce Henderson fired the weapon, an injury was practically certain to occur. That is the expected act definition, which is set forth by the Indiana Court of Appeals in the Bullen case. For all of these reasons,
Mr. Frazier, before you conclude, I might draw your attention with regard to citizenship and diversity. Your cover sheet, which is at entry 3, and it was form JS-44, in which you indicate that the principal parties, one is a citizen of the state and the other the incorporated place is a business in another state. So you might want to take a look at that as well.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you.
Mr. Tucker.
Thank you, Your Honor. There is a reasonable inference that what was done in this case by Joyce Henderson was to scare Alan Morgan to stop. We've had 2 trials. We've had 18 fact finders in this case. The last 6 we were before, those 6 determined that this was a reckless or negligent act. In Indiana, intentional acts are 100% under a comparative fault. And the jury in our civil trial attributed 10% fault to the plaintiff's decedent. In respect to what the facts occur here, Joyce Henderson said in her statement, specifically, I was kind of in shock. I didn't hardly know. I couldn't see hardly by that time because when my blood pressure goes up, I can't see good. But I don't know how I got the gun and I pointed it and they was together and he had Bill around the shoulders. I just fired it. I don't know how I hit him instead of Bill. A reasonable inference from those facts is that she intended to stop the fight by detonating the firearm. And looking in the Seventh Circuit, and particularly where we're from,
not suggesting that the inference is she intended to kill her husband.
No, sir. You've got a Taurus revolver. Have to pull through the whole double action. It's not likely, based on her experience in the record, that she's going to hit anything. She hadn't hit Alan. Your analogy of a deer, as I listen.
Look, if you shoot and kill somebody, the claim, I was a very bad shot, right? It was just a 1 in 100 chance that I would be able to do that. It's what I set out to do, right? I set out to shoot and kill X, but I'm such a terrible shot, I'm really surprised that I succeeded. Does that make it an accident?
No, sir. I don't believe she ever said that she intended to shoot to kill either one of them, or injure either one of them, either in the criminal case or the civil case.
She ever fired that weapon before?
Yes, practicing with her husband.
So she knew how to fire it. She was carrying it, obviously, on her person. So.
Yes, habitually.
Did she say why she carried it?
Yes, for protection and to shoot snakes, as I recall. They took walks every day, took walks on Sunday, and that was what
she's from Paoli?
She's from Lawrence County, Bedford, Your Honor.
Yeah. That is snakes but down there.
It's warmer. if you deliberately pull the trigger to a weapon and that constitutes avoidance on an insurance policy, then you've got a lot of instances where the rustling of the leaves and the individual recklessly shooting into the leaves and finding it's a human being instead of a deer will not be covered because of that is a reckless act. It was not intended that a person was killed. All we're saying is we'd like, instead of this decided as a matter of law, to present these facts to the trier of fact. And a reasonable inference is that gun was fired to scare Mr. Morgan to quit based on.
But she didn't fire in the air. She fired directly at them, didn't she? Well, obviously she.
Well, she had to. That's why. That was one of the problems when on these requests for admissions. What we admitted was it reasonably, practically certain that an injury would occur. Sure, one did. Yes, she fired that way, and it killed Alan Lee Morgan.
No, but look. If the claim is I tried to fire the gun in the air, but my hand was shaking so much that it just shocked me. It turned out it was horizontal rather than vertical. One could imagine that as a good claim of accident and therefore an occurrence within the policy. But that doesn't seem to be your position, that she was trying to fire in the air and because her hand was shaking so much she was, you know, she failed to carry out her intent of firing into the air.
Your Honor, I believe that's a reasonable inference from the facts that are below. As you can understand, it's very difficult to get a criminal defendant and then a civil defendant to cooperate.
because if that were the fact, I don't see how she could be convicted of a crime.
Of recklessness? If again, to your deer analogy, if someone shoots the rustling of leaves, they are convicted every day of recklessness in our part of the country for shooting into a rustling bush instead of making sure it's not a human.
What is that, a reckless homicide or something? What is that?
Reckless homicide. That's what she was convicted of. Not of any intentional act. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. Our fourth case for